I want to ask you a question that you may think is odd this morning for the beginning of what we're going to talk about, but I hope in the end the Lord will show you the connection this morning. And the question is this: are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? You could say that's the title of the message if you want to this morning. I had about three different titles and I really wasn't sure which one to have, so I'll let you pick, amen, which one you like best, okay? But are you satisfied this morning? You answer that within yourself. I know that's a loaded question and can go a lot of different directions. I realize that. But well, I guess what I'm trying to say is this morning, I guess to further explain that question, is are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied with the way things are going in your life? With your everyday life, the way things are going, with what's going on and taking place. Are you satisfied? You think about, that's a loaded question, and it's a really, you might answer it flippantly, but it's really one of those questions you need to think a little bit about before you answer too quick, to be honest about things, to fully be honest. But you think about, are you satisfied? And I've been asking myself this question the last few days. But notice with me, and I'll get to that in a second, but Psalms 34, we're going to read a decent amount of verses because I think it's important for the subject. Psalms 34, verse 1, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and notice this, and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Good verses, right? Especially verses 1 through 3, talking about praising God and you know, worshiping God with your lips and boasting of the Lord and all those things. And then in verse 4, he said, the Lord heard him. Amen. He sought him. He heard him. And he said, He delivered me from all my fears. And I marked that in my Bible. And you think that's a great thing when you have peace in your heart. Amen. As he had here, the Lord had delivered him from all those fears. But notice verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. This is David talking here. He wrote this psalm. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him, out of all his troubles. There's another blessing. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 10 reminds me of another verse of Scripture. You see there at the end of the verse where it talked about, it says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That reminds me of Psalms 23:1, don't it you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Reminds me of another verse of Scripture as well, where the Lord talks about how He'll provide for all our needs. Amen. Reminds me of another verse, I believe, that David was the one the Lord used with this one too, about how he had not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. You think about this verse here, he said, for there is no want of them that fear Him. And then verse 10, it said at the end, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Another title for the message this morning might be this: do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for how good You are to us. And thank You, dear Lord, for how You speak to our hearts. And thank You for each person that's able to be here, for all those that we mentioned that are in need, dear Lord, this morning, that are having health needs especially. We mentioned a lot of those. I pray that You'd touch them and help them. Dear Father, bless now the service today as we look at Your Word. Dear Lord, You've laid this message on my heart, and dear Lord, it spoke to me in a personal way, as, dear Lord, You've given me these things to share with Your people. And, dear Father, I pray this morning that You'd give me that anointing, that filling of Your Holy Spirit, and that You would just touch these lips. And, dear Lord, that Your Word would go forth and that Your Holy Spirit would convict in our hearts and give comfort and peace as well in our hearts. And that You'd draw us closer to You because, dear Father, we've been here this morning and we've obeyed what your word said. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You think about this morning, I think there's one thing we all could agree on. Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever you are, amen. Believer and non-believer. I think that everybody could agree on this fact this morning that our world is in a mess. Amen. Things are crazy, ain't they? That's the best way I can say it to me. Things are just crazy. And you see some things going on every day and you think, what in the world? And I think this, I have many times, and some people may disagree with me on it, but I bet most of y'all would agree with me on this. We talked about endangered species sometimes, right? How you got to protect this turtle or this bear or this bird or whatever because it's an endangered species. And I'm not necessarily against none of that unless we get really crazy with it sometimes. But we ought to take care of those things that God's, amen, given on the earth. But all that aside this morning, you think about endangered species, I think common sense is an endangered species, don't you? I think it's an endangered species, the thing of common sense. And I believe that's partly why we see such a mess in things a lot of times going on, because common sense is just, you know, he's endangered. We need to protect him on every hand, amen? But you think about, it's amazing sometimes to look around and think about things and see things. And when I say that this morning, I know that's a lot of a broad thing, those statements. But you think about what I'm trying to say is there's so much violence and wickedness all around us. It's just crazy, amen? You think about nowadays, you know, it's can some people try to justify their rioting, their violence, and say, oh, I'm just protesting. No, that's not protesting. That's rioting. That's violence. It's wrong. You need to go to jail for it. Amen. You think about, I'm simply saying today that things are just a mess and common sense is an endangered species. But you think about some of these things and we see all this stuff going on around us and there's a lot of reasons to be, from a human standpoint, fearful, if you will, and say, what in the world's going to happen next? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to take place? But I believe today that part of the reason why, a big part of why we're in the situation that we're in and we see the things we see today is because we especially as the people of God and the lost, but especially the people of God we're talking about this morning, don't have a fear of the Lord anymore. We don't have a fear of God anymore. I believe what we talked about in Sunday school this morning, believe it or not, connects with the message this morning and what we're going to talk about. I believe if we had a right fear of God, a right fear of the Lord like the Bible talks about, a lot of these things would just go away. But I believe that's why things used to be different than what they are now, is because used to be the saved especially feared God. Amen. But also the lost, if you will, to a point had a fear of God. Amen. They had a respect for God. They had a reverence for God. They had a reverence for the house of God, for the man of God, for the things of God. But not anymore, do they? Instead, now it's you know, the exact opposite. There is no fear anymore. Used to be people had a respect for these things, a respect for the house of Lord, including believers. They had a respect for the house of God. But that surely changed. You think about, there's no longer and I'm going to use this phrase a lot this morning, there's no longer a healthy fear of the Lord anymore. There's no longer a healthy fear of the Lord anymore in our country and even amongst us as believers like there used to be this morning. We've lost respect for the house of God and with the men of God as well. And a lot of that I know is because you see these people that I believe it's a lot of sheep's in wolf's clothing a lot of times. But you've seen a lot of preachers fall. Amen. You've seen a lot of churches do a lot of things. Amen. You've seen a lot of stuff go on. And because of that, the average person out there today says, look at them. Right? Look at that preacher or this preacher or look at this or look at that hypocrite or whatever have you. And boy, the devil uses those things, doesn't he, to detract from the truth that is the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about today, I looked up the word fear that's used in the Old Testament in these verses, a lot of them we're going to look at this morning. And the word fear has the idea of reverence, respect, but it also has this idea, terror. Reverence, respect, and terror. In other words, the fact that you've got a reverence, you've got a respect for something, amen, but you also have a terror, a fear there, a real fear of something. I think about there's certain animals and certain things out there, I have some reverence and respect for them, amen, and some, I'm going to let them have their area, amen, that's their thing. But this word of fearing the Lord is not a shaking in the boots this morning. Amen. David said in verse 4, he said the Lord had delivered him from all his fears. But yet he still had fear. But not the fear of the shaking in the boots of the things of this earth, but instead he had a fear of the Lord. You think about it, he still had a reverence. He still had a respect this morning. And he still, if you will, had a fear of God this morning. As he said in verse number 11, he said, "Come, children, hearken unto me. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord." This morning, I'm not David and I'm not calling y'all children, okay? But you are children of the Lord. Amen. If you know Him as your Savior. And this morning, I did a little bit of a study on the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And I found there's 7 different things. I'm not saying this is all of them, okay? But 7 different things that I found that the fear of the Lord will produce in a person's life. 7 different things that the fear of the Lord or the fear of God will accomplish in a person's life. So there's your third title, you could say. 7 things the fear of the Lord produces. You think about simply this morning, there's 7 things it produces, and we're going to talk about 3 real quickly this morning. If we have a healthy fear and a healthy respect of God in our lives and a healthy fear of the Lord, as the Bible says that we ought to, as the psalmist says, he's going to teach to them here. And by the way, if you read Psalms 34 later, and you look at these 7 points I'm going to give you from other places in the Scripture where it's verbatim stated these things, it's amazing to see in Psalms 34, he taught them basically all these things that we're going to look at in lots of places of Scripture. Even though he didn't use fear of the Lord in a lot of places in this chapter, to see the connection. When you think about simply this morning, the fear of the Lord is something we need. I wrote down this. This is the Gerald definition, okay, of fear of the Lord, based off what I gave you that the word fear meant, a reverence, a respect, or a terror. My definition for the fear of the Lord would be this: to have a healthy respect or reverence for God, and thus to fear Him out of it. To have a healthy respect or reverence for God, and to thus fear Him out of it. You say, what in the world do you mean by that? Let me give you another example, another definition. This one's a whole lot better than mine, okay? Because this definition was one that was given to me at Ambassador years ago, and I took and wrote it down. I think it was Brother Childs that gave us this definition, I believe, or Dr. Surrett, one of the two, but I think it was Brother Childs said this, and I've never forgot it, wrote it down in my Bible, and always kept it, and I've told y'all this before at different points. But the definition for the fear of the Lord, the best one I've ever heard is this: when my greatest delight is the thought of pleasing God, and my greatest despair is the thought of displeasing Him. Amen. My greatest delight is the thought of pleasing God, doing what He wants me to do. Amen. But my greatest despair or fear, amen, we might say, is the thought of displeasing God, of sinning against God, of letting God down, not doing what God wants us to do. Amen. You think about that's what a fear of God is this morning. When I heard that, I wrote it. I said, oh man, that's awesome. And that's what the fear of the Lord really is. And there's people don't have that nowadays anymore, do they? Even amongst believers a lot of times, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, you don't have a fear of the Lord. That's why. Amen. You think about, well, I'm going to do what I think's right. Well, it's not what you think right. It's what pleases God. Amen. You want to please Him. It's the thought of pleasing Him that's the most. That's your greatest delight. And anything to do that would hurt God or be sin or be against the Word of God, that's your greatest despair in the world. You don't want to do that. That's what a healthy fear of God produces in a person's heart and in their life. That's what the fear of God is. 7 things that the fear of the Lord produces in a person's life. Psalms 19, turn with me there. Psalms 19, and notice with me verse number 7. When you get there, say amen. Psalms 19, 7. Amen. Amen. We got one there. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Psalms 19:7. These verses are important this morning. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Here's the verse. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More be desired they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. In verse 9, he said, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. May I say the first thing that this fear of the Lord or fear of God will produce in your life, if you have it, is a cleansing. Amen? A cleansing. In other words, this morning, if we have fear of God like we ought to have, a right fear, a biblical fear that David was talking about, it'll cause us to live a clean, pure life before God. Amen? And when we do sin, it'll cause us to go to God and ask Him to cleanse us and wash us in His blood. Amen? To forgive us of that sin, those things that we've committed. If we fear God, it'll produce a cleansing in our lives. You think about, no wonder today so many believers walk around and do all these sins and all this stuff, and you say, boy, even churches, and I want to get into this too much, doing all these things they're doing in the church house that the preachers in those church houses used to preach against. And you think to yourself, there's no fear of God there anymore. Because if there was a fear of God, it would produce a cleansing. Amen? It would produce a cleansing. You think about, fear of the Lord produces cleansing in our lives. Amen? I'll give you one example. You've heard this said many times, that if it comes to the place in your life and you're trying to decide whether something's right to do or something's wrong to do, whether you should or shouldn't do something, is this act or this thing right or wrong to do, to ask yourself the question, would I want to be caught doing this if Jesus comes back right now? That's a powerful thing. Why does that keep you from doing things a lot of times? Why? Because you think about the fear of the Lord. It's a cleansing thing. Amen? If you say, boy, if Jesus was to show up right now and I was caught doing this, would I be afraid of Him? Fear of the Lord. Amen? But you think about today, it's a lot of people, they just don't even care. Amen? They're going to do it anyway. There's no fear of the Lord anymore. Amen? Instead, I'll ask God to forgive me afterwards, and oh, He'll forgive me. Yes, He will. But there's punishment to pay, amen, for the sins and things we commit. And the Bible talks about not using that liberty as a cloak, amen. And we shouldn't do that. You think about cleansing. The fact that the fear of God will produce a cleansing in our lives, amen. You think about it produce a cleansing in our homes, a cleansing in our hearts, a cleansing in the house of God, amen. You think about today. It used to be we preached against worldly music. Now it's in the church house. You say, why are you going to name? I'm getting ready to name some things. You say, why are you naming some of these things this morning, Pastor? Simply because, to show you this, I believe a big part of why the lost person don't have a fear of God anymore like they used to is because the people of God don't. The people of God don't. The preachers of God don't. We don't have a fear of God like they used to have. The churches don't. And so if the world looks at us, amen, they're looking at us, the only Bible some people's ever going to see, and they say, well, look at them church people. Look at that church. Look at them. What in the world? Ain't nothing wrong with me doing that, right? They're doing and saying the same things I am. There's no fear of God anymore in us, and then it trickles out to them. I'm simply saying today, you think about the fear of God will produce a cleansing. Worldly music, they listen to the same music I do. Matter of fact, that church music sounds exactly like my music at home, amen, that all these other singers sing. Lord, help us. We got to get rid of that stuff. Amen. The fear of God will produce a cleansing in your heart and in your life and your radio. Amen. And a lot of other things. It'll produce a cleansing. You think about today, also fear of God will produce a cleansing when it comes to your attire. Amen. There's some clothes today we shouldn't wear. Now people's wearing them to church. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. I'm thinking about simply this morning, there's some worldly attire. And I think about even preachers' wives wearing some of these things. Lord, help them. And men wearing certain things too. I'm not picking on the women this morning. But it used to be that alcohol was preached against. We've talked about it before. Now there's churches out there bringing the beer in, having beer Sunday, amen, or beer Saturdays, and these types of things, and having beer and having a sermon at the same time. I'm simply saying this morning, folks, no fear of God anymore. Amen? No fear of God. Saying, oh, well, just a social drink's fine. No, it's not. Amen? The Bible says, don't look upon the wine when it turneth itself aright in the cup. Amen? It biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be bit by a serpent, and I don't want to be sting like an adder, and I ain't going to take my chance. I'm just going to stay away from one drop of it. Amen? That's what we all ought to do. The old-time preachers, Billy Sunday, boy, he preached hard against those things. Got saved out of that mess. Amen? Beer joints used to close down when preachers and churches and things was there. Lord, help us. We have no fear of God anymore. We've allowed it into the church, so what do you expect to happen and to take place? You think about today simply, and Lord, help me. close you anyway. Nobody. If you get mad, you just get mad. Women preachers. Amen. Used to preach against it. Now they're in. Southern Baptist, Independent Lord Baptist. I keep naming all the other names too. I'm picking on us first. But we allow, oh, it's no big deal anymore. It's no big deal. I go to a couple preachers' meetings a year, and here's another one. They used to be preached against, but now it's not being preached against because in the pulpit you got divorced and remarried pastors. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Why, no wonder we have no fear, no respect for what God's Word says. Amen. For what He says anymore. Amen. And some of the things we talked about in Sunday school I could go into, but we're going to move on. The fear of the Lord will produce a cleansing in your heart and in your life this morning if we got a right fear of God. A healthy fear of God. A healthy fear for the Word of God. We could talk about the versions of the Bible. There's another one. Amen. These believers, oh, we can just change this and that. And I'm not saying only the Lord knows. But I'm just saying, wanting to change all this stuff in the Bible. The Bible, do they not read it? Do they not have a fear of God? Where He said, if you add to my word, I'll add the plagues to you. Amen. If you remove, then I'll remove your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know about you, but that scares me. That makes me shake a little bit thinking about it. Amen. I don't know about you. That's fear of God. I ain't touching this book. Amen. I feel bad when I read a word wrong. Amen. I feel bad when I quote and mess up a word. Amen. Y'all forgive me if I get a word wrong every now and again. Lord, forgive me. Amen. This is God's Word. Amen. And the fear of the Lord will produce a cleansing in our hearts and in our lives and in our homes and in our church houses. Our homes need to be kept clean. Amen. Leviticus, you say, but that's the law. Hold on a second. Leviticus, let me read the verse. Leviticus 27. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, the Lord told them, for I am the Lord your God. Amen. I know that's the Old Testament. I know that's the book of Leviticus. But guess what? I got another one for you. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter. That ain't in Leviticus and that ain't in the Old Testament. Amen. And the Old Testament applies a lot to us today, but we ain't got time to get into that. 1 Peter 1:15. Amen. All the Bible's important. 1 Peter 1:15, 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, the Lord's holy, so be ye holy, just like He is. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is still in the book. Amen? And the fear of God is too, and that produces a cleansing in our lives. Holiness is still in the book, but honestly, it's in very few of our lives, and in very few churches, and in very few homes today. May the Lord help us all to live holy. Amen. We need the Lord's help in this dirty day and time we live in. If we have a healthy fear of God, it'll produce a cleansing. Amen. It'll cleanse us. Amen. And sometimes you need a good cleanser. Amen. And the fear of the Lord will produce a good cleansing in your heart and in your life. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 before we move on to the second thing. Proverbs 16 and verse number 6. Proverbs 16, 6 this morning. Proverbs 16, 6. The fear of the Lord will produce a cleansing. Oh, forgive me this morning. I guess allergies, but... Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Notice the phrase at the end. And by the fear of the Lord, men do what? Depart from evil. Amen. In other words, if people have the fear of God in their life, it'll produce a cleansing and it'll cause them to then... You'll depart from evil. Amen. You'll depart from it. Amen. In other words, you've been a part of it, but now you're going to depart from it. Why? Because you got the fear of God. Amen. It'll produce a cleansing in our hearts and in our lives today. So if we have a fear of God, it'll produce a cleansing. If you and I take a good look in the mirror of God's Word this morning and we see a bunch of dirtiness, if you will, in our lives, guess what? It's probably a big part because we don't fear God like we ought to. We don't have a fear of God like we ought to. A